This is Booth 46, live from Petorino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
From Petorino's Restaurant in Chicago, in the heart of the Loop, it is another Booth 46 podcast. And the crowd applauds. And the great thing about this crowd, we happen to have, coincidentally, a veterinarian in this crowd. Yay. Who's visiting Chicago. That deserves a round of applause because this guest is Darlene Duggan, who is the president of Anti-Cruelty, Chicago's oldest animal shelter. In fact, one of the oldest animal shelters in the nation. Big events coming up for Anti-Cruelty, which we'll talk about. We'll talk about the situation with animal welfare right now, not only in Chicago, but throughout the rest of the country. How are you, Darlene?
I'm great, Steve. So happy to be here. This is really exciting. What a great environment to do a podcast like this.
And you'll be getting peppermint ice cream, which makes it even better.
All the better.
I know. Now, I've known you for a very long time, and you've been in the world of animal welfare for a very long time. We don't have to say how many years.
Thank you.
But here is my question. How did it all begin for you?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. So I had graduated college. I thought I was on my way to medical school and took a detour to get my degree, my master's in biostatistics and epidemiology. It was just a little fun thing that I wanted to do before I applied to med school. Found out that I liked data more than maybe caring for patients or that side of medical work. And so lo and behold, it just so happened that the then president of Anti-Cruelty had gone through the same degree program I did. Our dean connected us. I ended up with a job the very next day, and the rest, they say, is history.
Yes, and you've stayed in animal welfare for all these years. What is it that keeps you in this industry?
Yeah. You know, the obvious question, or the obvious answer, rather, to that is the animals, and I think that goes without saying. Working hard to make sure that every animal has a safe home, health benefits for those animals. All of those components. I'm a lifelong animal lover, as most of us in this industry are. In fact, as most of the world's population is.
Well, now that is actually literally true.
Yeah, absolutely. And
most people in America have a pet.
Yep.
And in fact, there are more, far more pets than there are children in this country.
Absolutely.
And it's the same throughout much of the world, actually.
Yeah. In fact, for most Americans, I think a pet, whether it's a dog, a cat, or a bunny, or some sort of pet, completes the family unit. I think most people feel incomplete until that dog comes along, or that animal, that cat,
true,
whatever it is. Grew up in a household. Both my mom and dad are animal lovers as well, so had always had a dog, a cat, various, you know, fish and small animals had come through. So it's always been a part of my life story. So it, the piece that keeps me coming back to it is always the animals. But I also have to say it's the people that work in animal welfare too. I have never in all my walks of life, of all of the things that I've done and all of the various capacities that I exist and have a history in, I have not met a more dedicated, compassionate, passionate group of people. And it takes all kinds to work for animals. It takes professional veterinarians and vet techs. It takes radio superstars such as yourself to help spread the message. It, you know, there's so many different, we all come at this from so many different backgrounds, and I think that's what makes the magic to move the industry forward.
But right now, the magic is kind of a disappearing act. In that all over the country, not only the city which we both live in, Chicago, there is literally at times a line outside the door of people saying, in numbers that we have not seen in many, many years, I need to relinquish this animal.
Yeah.
And Why is that happening? People have said that it's the pandemic dogs, the pandemic puppies. People are getting bored with them. Well, this is quite a number of years later after the pandemic at this point. I don't buy that explanation having anything to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, let me take another drink. I don't even know how to answer this question.
What are you drinking?
So a little beautiful Pinot Noir here. It tastes delicious, and it's a perfect, perfect drink to have this conversation.
So you need a drink to answer this question.
You do, yes. It's disappointing, as someone who's been in this industry for going on over 25 years now, to see the amount of effort that we put into prevention services such as spay and neuter and community support and humane education and awareness and all of the components, and to see the line, the, you know, so to speak, literal and figurative, line out the door getting longer and longer. But I think that that also speaks to pets in our lives are just becoming more and more ubiquitous. So I think it's actually a bit of a numbers game. I think the rate, maybe per capita or, you know, per family, per household, so to speak, is likely growing, but that just means that there's more pets. Also, on the good side of this equation, there's more pets being taken care of as well. So you take the good, you take the bad.
And there is bad, though. So let's talk about some of this. No doubt, affordability, which has become this buzzword, is really an issue. Cost of veterinary care has gone up. Mm-hmm. Cost of having a pet in every which way has increased, as the cost of lots of things have. But there are more multi-pet homes than ever before. So I wonder if that fact plays into this as well, combined with the fact that even pet food has gone up like our own food has.
Yeah, yeah. I just read a statistic this morning, actually, that the cost of owning a pet has gone up 32% since COVID alone. So that definitely tells me that there is an economic factor to what we're seeing on the relinquishment side or the intake side. It's hard to ignore the fact that 25 years ago, 50 years ago, at some point in our recent past, the amount of care that we've extended to our animals, our pets in our home, has definitely doubled. 50 years ago, 70 years ago, did every dog, every cat have 16 different comfortable bed options? Did they have, you know, a plethora of toys to play with? Did they have specialty food choices to choose from and, you know, 110 different treats at their disposal? Probably not. So I think the cost of just the expectation of the care that we're going to give to our pets has also risen. So I don't think that's all bad, and I don't think, you know, that's also all good, but I think that factors into the equation of why it costs us so much to care for our animals, as our own expectations as owners, as pet lovers, is just different from what it used to be. Again, going back to the economy, it is more expensive to drive your car, to go to the grocery store, to eat out at restaurants. All of the things that we love to do is more expensive, so I think that's factoring into people's ability to care for those pets and people's ability to consider bringing on more pets, especially from a shelter environment, into their home.
That's another thing. So, crazy thing has happened. As we have, and I've been a part of this, as you know, banned the sales of dogs and cats at pet stores, greatly because of where they come from, which are puppy mills or facilities that mass produce the animals one way, shape, or form. And the doodle dogs that oftentimes at pet stores, that Yorkie poo might be part Yorkie, but actually when the work is done genetically, there's no poo. You know, I mean, they're not what they seem they are.
Yeah.
And they cost a lot of money.
Yes.
Not so much money to adopt a dog at an animal shelter, but that's become a fancy thing for people to do rather than to adopt. Are there still, despite all the work we've done for all these years, misconceptions that these dogs and cats are damaged goods?
Yeah, I think that definitely still exists. And the irony is with the multi-poo or the doodle mixes or all of those fancy quote-unquote breeds right now are really just mutts as well.
Yeah.
They're really combinations of, you know, different dogs. So the irony that you can't get a purebred from a shelter is not lost on me that most of the time the family dog of choice right now is actually a mix itself. But to take things back to that shelter level, yes, I do think that people still consider animals, secondhand goods or faulty in some way, shape, or form, whether it's behaviorally or medically or just not the right breed combination that they're looking for. And, you know, I would encourage people to still consider adopting from an animal shelter. If nothing else, talking about the economy earlier and bringing it back to the economy, it's a good investment for your money. Animals from shelters will most often come already in spayed and neutered, already vaccinated. Most of the time they will have some basic training under their belt from the lovely staff and volunteers that work in our shelters. So you get a little bit of an out-of-the-box product. And the job for the new owner is just to acclimate, to pour that love on that animal, to do all of the fun stuff. So, you know, I'd really encourage people to rethink what they can get, what they can adopt from an animal shelter.
So let's talk about some good news that is really kind of a change.
Mm-hmm.
If I were talking to you 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to say this. Cats are flying out the shelters. You're doing great with cats.
Yes,
who knew cats could fly?
Yes, absolutely. Meow, meow. Way to go, cats. When I first started in this industry, you're right. We would have been having the exact opposite conversation. Dogs, we wouldn't be able to keep them in the shelter long enough. Now it has reversed. We're seeing extended lengths of stay for dogs, and cats are flying off the shelves. We are in Chicago and across most of the country. We're in what we call kitten season right now, which means that most of stray moms out there are giving birth to the litters. So we're getting droves of cats coming in. We recently celebrated a kitten shower at the shelter to help us promote fostering of these kittens, to help us promote the care that they need and require. But there is some component to it that, you know, the folks who are drawn to shelter animals are drawn to cats right now. And is it an economic factor? Do people still strongly desire a pet in their life and recognize that cats are a little bit less expensive to care for? Or is it something else? It's easier to have cats in an apartment in a downtown living situation.
I think a housing issue, which brings up another reason why pets are relinquished, that I know you've talked a lot about, and it's in major metropolitan areas greatly, but everywhere, where large dogs are not allowed in especially pit bull looking dogs that are, by the way, only mixed breed dogs themselves, right?
Right, exactly.
And yeah.
Yep.
They're not allowed. Insurance companies sometimes say no, 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 no. The landlord, therefore, says no, 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 no. Cats are more accepted in these places. Also, it's lifestyle, as you mentioned, you know, that people are maybe busier than ever before. And a cat doesn't need that walk three times a day necessarily.
Right.
Though I think we sometimes don't understand that cats do need more attention than sometimes we think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is for, especially for young people, maybe just starting off in their career, they don't have children yet. A cat makes a good option because they can go out after work for dinner or drinks with colleagues and coworkers. And they don't have to worry about rushing home to let the dog out. But at the same time, again, cats are a little bit more self-sufficient. They don't need as much time and attention, usually. Of course, we all know cats that are, you know, for all intents and purposes, will demand your attention every moment of the day.
Totally.
Especially for those of us that work from home, we might know about the cat walking across your keyboard or making an appearance on your Zoom call, whatever it is. But yeah, there is just fundamentally some difference right now that cats are more popular from an adoption perspective. And on the cat side, way to go. That's fabulous. We celebrate that fact every day in the shelter. On the dog side, we've got a little bit of work to do, but that's what we're here for.
Indeed. All right. So I need to talk to you about a controversial issue. So the term no kill has been bantied about for years at this point in time. no one that works in the animal sheltering community goes to work thinking, I want to euthanize an animal, of course.
Right.
I hope people would understand that, right? Having said that, sometimes a facility, particularly I'm talking about municipal shelters now, which you're not, but a municipal shelter that by law, any city anywhere has to take in anything at their door, sometimes has places for, I'm making up a number, say 200 animals, and they get 300 at their door. Now, these municipal facilities in recent years have become really creative, thankfully foster families, right? Rescue organizations, all of these other places that can relieve the pressure, but still, if they euthanize the one, the good news is the public is watching, but I think at times the public doesn't quite understand what's going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, anti-cruelty is an open admissions shelter, and we have been that since our founding in 1899. So literally 127 years, we haven't changed that fact. And what an open admissions shelter means is that we will accept any animal in any condition, anytime.
But what if you didn't? What if you were like most other shelters these days, private shelters, and didn't? You have the municipal facility in Chicago that literally, as we pointed out, and other cities too, has a line outside their door. What would that line look like if you weren't around saying, we'll take them too?
Yeah, I mean, the sad fact is that line would double, triple, quadruple, whatever it is, and most of those animals would not have what we call in the industry a live outcome. Most of those animals, or I shouldn't say most, but many of those animals perhaps would have to be euthanized, which is unfortunate. So anti-cruelty relieves that pressure on our municipal partner, Chicago Animal Care and Control. And even with our capacity and their capacity combined, we're still not hitting the mark of the need in a major metropolitan area like the city of Chicago and our surrounding suburbs and municipalities. And so it's a tricky population management in an animal shelter, whether you're open door or a municipal facility, is a balancing act. And there are decisions that have to be made. And one of the major ways that we extend our capacity for care is actually through foster homes. And so that is a great way for the public to further support our mission. It's a low investment. You're not permanently taking on an animal. You're just sort of helping us for a period of time, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, four, however long that animal needs. We can get it adopted directly out of the foster home. It avoids that animal coming into the shelter. And like I said, or like the example you gave earlier, if a shelter has 200 kennels on site, foster homes allow us essentially an unlimited amount of kennel space if we're only limited by how many people sign up to foster. So our 200 kennels, which is a very finite number, a very finite capacity, could double into 400 animals that we could help at any given time, 800, just depending. It can go and go and go. And so that is something that anti-cruelty pushes often. It is something that every shelter across the country could always use more fosters. So I would encourage anybody listening that is saddened or angered or frustrated by what's happening in the shelter environment right now is to consider throwing their hat in the ring, helping out by fostering. That's probably the number one way. If you can't adopt, please foster.
I love that notion because some people are just so critical without understanding or without... Here's a way to step up.
Absolutely.
And actually make a difference,
absolutely,
no matter what city you live in.
For sure.
And this does make a difference in other ways, too. So as wonderful as many animal shelters are now, it's not like a home, right?
Right.
And foster family, well, that's a home.
Yeah.
And also, you better can then report, oh, that dog turns out to be great with kids. That dog has a problem going up and down stairs, but we taught it to do that.
Absolutely.
That cat really doesn't like other dogs.
Right.
However, because cats can be fostered too, however, now the cat does. Or whatever the situation is, you truly then can help that animal become, in the future, a better pet and more adoptable.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a win-win-win situation. The shelters win because we've increased our capacity for care. the animal wins because, like you said, it's in a comfortable, warm, loving environment. And the foster family wins because what a great way to help your community by fostering those pets.
Oh, but you win in one other way.
Oh, what's that?
You get peppermint ice cream.
That's right, yay!
The best ice cream ever. It's at Petterino's. And while you have a mouthful, I'll talk about the mouth-watering Italian dining in Chicago's downtown theater district called Petterino's. You can join us here at Petterino's for summer sips. It's that time of year from 2 to 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. to close on Monday through Friday on the amazing corner patio at Dearborn and Randolph, right in the heart of the theater district. Plus, enjoy live jazz. You like live jazz.
That's awesome.
It's better than dead jazz, I'll tell you that. That's every Monday night, al fresco style, outdoors. And do you know what? This was written especially for you, I believe.
Awesome.
The patio is dog friendly.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, you can bring your pooch to the patio for Petterino's one-of-a-kind puppy menu.
That's wonderful. Well, and Steve, you know, we have a Dog's Day Out program, which people, anybody, can come into the shelter, take a dog out of our kennel for the afternoon. We give them a list of dog-friendly places around the city, so I am going to make sure that Petterino's is included on that list.
I love that. Petterino's will love that, and more importantly, the dogs will love it, right? It's always fun at Petterino's. All right, so what do you think of the ice cream, first of all?
Delicious. Perfect. It is wonderful.
It is wonderful. This is why I do this. It's for the peppermint ice cream.
I understand.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's right.
I know. So if you can communicate one message that people may not completely understand about animal sheltering, what would that be?
You know, I think the one message that there might be some misconception or misunderstanding around is what we talked about already, is that what is in a shelter is damaged goods. And that is not the case at all. We have, I'll take it back to our staff and our volunteers, our supporters. We pour our blood, sweat, and tears literally into these animals, making sure that they are as healthy as they can be, as behaviorally sound as they can be, as comfortable as they can be. I see the dedication of our staff, our volunteers, every single day. So what you're really adopting from a shelter is the community's love for these animals. And so I think that's the common misconception.
You know, for those listening in Chicago, on May 30th, there's an event. You were one of the first in the country to do this kind of thing, going back to the mid-1990s. That far. It seems like the mid-1990s. That shouldn't be that long ago, but at this point it was
that long ago. We're getting old, Steve. We're getting old.
Speak for yourself. But I will be there, as I have been in the past, at...
It's at Lincoln Park.
It's called
Bark in the Park. And it is a fun morning celebrating all of the love and just admiration that we have for the pet-loving community. It's bring your dog. It's family-friendly. Bring the whole family. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Bring your coworkers. It's a walk to support the anti-cruelty, the mission, the programs and services that we offer. And afterwards, it's a fun festival with vendors and activities and activations. And, you know, it's a great party for all of the dog lovers of the city.
It's May 30th. And it's at the south end of Lincoln Park, near North Avenue, near the farm
exactly
at the
right.
zoo, if you're in Chicago. And you can bring your cat, too. Well, kind of.
Maybe not. Bring your cat in spirit.
Or a picture of your cat on the phone.
Exactly.
That would be perfect.
That
I
would
think.
Be perfect. Ba-dum-bum.
Yes, yes. And for those in Chicago, my friend Jose Sanders from WLS-TV, Channel 7, a sponsor of this event for many years, will be there. And clearly, there must be good weather because Tracy Butler will be there, meteorologist
Absolutely.
Also. So
Absolutely.
Come to Bark in the Park, anticruelty.org, to learn more about it. All right, now I have some questions for you. The questions I ask everyone on this podcast. You all
Great.
Set?
I'm ready.
You holding on?
I'm ready.
All right.
Let's do it.
What is the best job you've ever had?
Well, I would be remiss not to say being president of anti-cruelty. It is it is an extension of who I am, this organization. It exists in my family. We adopted our dog back in third grade. My mom and dad threw my sister and I into the minivan and came down to the shelter to adopt the world's most wonderful chocolate lab mix. And it has been a part of my family ever since then. It is an honor and a privilege to lead this organization now.
Which is really one of the oldest animal shelters in America.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Originally was around to protect horses, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe it or not. And we still have some of the old feeding and watering troughs that they would put out around the city that they would put food and water in for the workhorses then. So
you have an event coming up celebrating your history, I think.
We do, yeah. Later in September, we're going to be celebrating Rose Faye Thomas. That is our founder of Anti-Cruelty.
And her partner is going to be there speaking, Paul Lisnick?
That's correct. I was a little speechless on that one. I didn't know where you were going with that. But yes, Paul will be there too.
Yeah, yes. He'll be reading from a book or something like that.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yep. He'll be helping to host and sort of MC that event for us. We're really looking forward to it. It is for a special group of anti-cruelty supporters that go above and beyond to make sure that our mission is sustainable into the future. So, again, it's a great way to celebrate the work that we do and the people who support us.
I'll be there as well. What is the worst job you've ever had?
You know, I don't think I've ever had a bad job, believe
Even
it or
like,
not.
So the answer to this is often, when I was 17,
no,
I...
No, it's not. When I was 17, I worked at a retirement community serving dinner to people that lived there. And
really?
It was so fun. It was wonderful and it was amazing. I cannot complain about that at all.
You served dinner to Paul.
During college, I worked in a research lab at... yeah, definitely. Paul was there.
Yes.
That's how he and I got to know each other.
I thought so. Yeah.
Exactly. I worked in research while I was in college. I worked at Anti-Cruelty in many capacities, many different jobs around animal welfare.
When you were younger.
Loved them all.
Yeah. And circled back, and now you're...
Exactly. So I have yet to take on a role that I haven't absolutely loved. So I consider myself lucky in that regard.
What makes you the happiest?
You know, when I think about being happy, I think about my family. My mom and dad, I am so grateful to how they raised me and how they instilled just such a love of community and so many family values. I have three girls at home myself, all in high school right now, and so we're looking for... forward to the future, but my mom heart is a little bit torn in pieces right now because my oldest is about to go off to college. So family is what sustains me. And that's one of the reasons why I love Anti-Cruelty so much is that we help create families. My office, Steve, you've been in it.
Yep.
It overlooks the courtyard where most people are meeting their new dogs. And I hear shouts and squeals of joy and laughter. And it just, if I'm having a bad day, I open my window and I just hear all of the people meeting their new family member, and it warms my heart. So for me, that definitely is my family.
What do you most appreciate about Chicago?
The food. Does it get any better than peppermint ice cream from Pettorino's, deep dish pizza, tavern-style pizza, Chicago-style hot dog? I mean, we could go on and on and on about the food of Chicago.
Well, you know what? You ought to organize a fundraising food tour.
We should. That's a great idea.
Yeah, and you could lead it.
I would be the absolute best at that.
Darlene Duggan, you've done so much for animal welfare in Chicago.
Thank you, Stephen. Right back at
you. And I'm so grateful for that and the work you do with Anti-Cruelty. But I would argue, most importantly, the work volunteers do.
Absolutely. Yep. Yes, it is no one person carrying this load. It is the community working together, whether you get paid to do the job or whether you're volunteering your time, your treasure, your talent. We are all in this together.
And you have a staff that is so committed to do better every single
Absolutely.
Day.
Yep. Absolutely.
As you do. Darlene, thank you so much. From Pettorino's Booth 46,
Yay.
Darlene
thank you,
Duggan.
Steve.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 at Pettorino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.